We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 35th chapter. Gentlemen, I recommend learning Hebrew just to appreciate Yeshaya. The wording is in Yeshaya is so beautiful. And we're entering the most beautiful prophecies now. Yeshaya initially spoke about destruction. Now Yeshaya is going to talk about the redemptions that are coming. And it's interjected with other prophecies, but the prophecies from now on, I highly recommend take the time to listen. There's so much poetry. There's onomatopoeia. There's a playing with words, even with the syllables, as you read through it. Onomatopoeia is when the wording of the sound... you guys know. Okay. Pasuk Aleph. So we're up to what's called the 35th chapter, Pasuk Aleph. Yesusu Midbar Vetziah, the land of Israel, which was desolate, it was like a desert, will now celebrate over them. Vetagel Arava Vetifrach Kachavatzalet, and the land which was Arava, which was arid, which was dry as a desert, will now give song. Will now celebrate v'tifrach, and it will produce flowers, kachavatzelet, like the plant called a chavatzelet, which is a plant that is very lush, that ordinarily grows in the valleys where there's a lot of water. Notice that in modern Hebrew, Ben Yehuda made the word tifrach to mean anything that that blossoms. And the word tifrach really comes from the word perach, to give forth a flower, which is a form of blossoming, but it's a more specific form of blossom. Paroach tifrach v'tagel. She will blossom, she will give forth flowers, and she will rejoice. Af gilat v'ranen. She will also give song. She will also celebrate. Kilvod ha-Levanon nitanah. The honors of the great trees of Lebanon, there were great cedar trees in Lebanon, they will be given to the land of Israel, which is a way of saying, in metaphoric terms, it means that the land will be very lush. Even the soldiers who came back from the war in Lebanon were shocked at how lush Lebanon is. It's like fighting in Vietnam. It's like you just move northward a few kilometers and suddenly see land that is filled with vegetation. Lebanon, till today, is a land that's filled with vegetation and growth. So the Navi wants to describe how the land of Israel will flourish. He says it will have the honor of Lebanon, meaning it will be a lush, a land filled with growth. Hadnar HaKarmel VeHasharon, the beauty of the Carmel, that's a place, flatlands where there were many fields. And what?
Wait, the Sharon is flatland. The Carmel is like
mountains
near Haifa. No?
The Carmel in Tanakh is an area where they had fields, and Sharon was an area where they had a lot of lush grass where they'd let the cattle graze. Our sages say that Hashem will give us the honor of Lebanon. Lebanon is an allusion to the temple. The temple is called Levanon. For the basic understanding is because it was built from cedar trees that were brought in from Lebanon. So that's why it was called the Levanon. Our sages say that the word Levanon is an active tense of the word Lavan. You have Lavan, white. Levanon means the whitener. That the temple whitens us of our transgressions. That's why the temple is referred to as Levanon, the whitener. So the Navi says, Hey ma, Yeruchevod Adonai, Hadar Eloheinu. The people living in Israel will see the honor of Hashem. They will see the glory of Hashem as they return to the land of Israel. And the Navi tells them, Chazeku Yadayim Rafot, strengthen the hands that have weakened. It's been a long exile. People have a hard time believing that it's over. The Navi is told, strengthen them. They're ready to give up, so strengthen their hands. uvirkain koshilot ameitzu. And when you see people whose knees are weakened, so they're ready to collapse, you give them the strength to stand up. Imro lenimarei lev chizku al tira'u. Tell the people whose hearts are yearning to see the redemption complete, and they're saying, why is it taking so much time? Isn't that the story of everyone? Why is it taking so much time? Tell them, chizku, strengthen your heart. Al tira'u, do not be scared. Hine Eloheichem nakam yavo. Hashem, your God is coming, He is taking a vengeance. Gemul Elohim hu yavo v'yosha achim. Hashem will come and take care of His people. He will pay you back in kind, and He will pay back those who afflict you. Az tipakachna einei ivrim. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. Ah, now you know the verse that's the source of the story. The eyes of the blind will be opened. And our sages didn't understand this verse to be literal. Our sages understood that the verse is talking about the people of Israel who were behaving as though they were blind. And this can be understood on two levels. Either the people who were blind from recognizing that, either it's talking about the people who wouldn't recognize Israel's position in the world. They were blind from that. Their eyes will be opened. Vosnei cheresim tipachna. And the ears of the deaf will be opened. They'll suddenly realize, wait a second, they have a job in this world, I don't have to put them down. Or else it's talking about the Jewish people who behaved as though they were blind and deaf. People would shame them, people would mock them, people would persecute them, and they behaved as though they were blind and deaf, oblivious to their suffering. So their eyes and ears will be opened. Suddenly you say, ah, they do see, they do hear. Or in the words of Shakespeare, if you prick me, do I not bleed? Pasuk Vav. Oh. Az yiddaleg ka'ayal piseyach. Then the person who is crippled will dance around like an ayal. I don't know how you translate ayal. What do they say? A ubex? A ram? So the person who was until now, as though he was crippled, the Jewish people who seemed crippled until now, suddenly you'll see them dancing around like a ram. And the tongue that seemed mute will suddenly give song. And that's the Jewish people that until now, it seemed like they have nothing to say. They're quiet. Ah, once they are given their own land, their turf, suddenly you hear them. Because the salvation will be as though the deserts will be filled with water, and the Arava, the arid, dry land, will have streams within it. The land of Israel that has been so destroyed will suddenly come back to life. Vehaya hasharav lagam. Sharav in modern Hebrew means a period, a heat wave. But in the Tanakh, the word sharav means a dry place, a place that's been completely dried out from the heat. So hasharav, the area which is completely dry from the heat, will become la'agam, will become a stream, a pond. Vitzima'on limabu eimaim. And areas that were thirsting will now be sources of water. And this is all a metaphor. Meaning we think maybe it means literally, look at the land of Israel flourishing. Chazal say it's a metaphor for the salvation, that the people will reach points where they think there's no hope, where we're finished, we're all dry, the land isn't going to be rejuvenated, the people aren't going to be rejuvenated. Some of you may remember that the reform movement at the just before the turn of the century in the 1800s, they removed V'techezena ineinu b'shuvcha l'tzion. They removed the mention of Zion from the prayer. They said, who needs to go back to Zion? What are you going back for? Look at it. It's wasteland. It's dry land. It has nothing to do with us. We should see Hashem's glory in Berlin. We should... They removed that part. Be loyal citizens to Germany. I have in my family Yad. Ayad is the hand that's used to point in the Sefer Torah. So we have in the family, I don't know how it made it out, maybe because my grandfather escaped Germany before the war, that the community in Germany dedicated to two fallen soldiers who had fought for Germany in World War I. So in the Beit Knesset, the Yad that they used to point in the Sefer Torah has inscribed, it has a plate that's inscribed on it, these two soldiers who fell fighting on behalf of Germany. So we still have it in the family, that Yad.
I had an iron cross for my grandfather from Germany. He was in the war. They gave him a medal for whatever he did, sergeant or something. But there's nothing specifically about being patriotic where you live. It's a problem. The problem is if you think that's the end.
So
so
that's what I'm saying. The commentaries that Chazal understood that this is a reference to the Jews giving up hope and coming back to Israel. They thought Israel's all dry, it's finished.
That was the crime.
So that the Navi's describing, there will be rejuvenation. Now, the pious always held on to hope, but it was hard. It's hard to hold on to hope for a millennium and then two millennium. It gets tedious. It's very hard. The flip side of it is that life is more difficult when you give up hope. You know, giving up hope is worse. That's what we learned last week about the strength of holding on to the future in Rav Chailap. Now, one of the strengths that a person can have is when he connects to the future. He does allow himself to dream. That's why before Yaakov goes out on his journey, he has a dream. Because a dream can hold us throughout our journey. Binvei tanim rivtza chatzir lekaneh vagome. Binvei tanim. Neve means the house. Tanim is a type of snake. So the place where hitherto these snakes would live, binvei tanim, the place that used to be the house of these snakes called a tanim, so that place will again become rivtza, will become a place where people will be able to settle down and live. It's going to be lush and flourishing. Chatzir, and over there grass will grow to feed the animals. And these are places where originally they were desolate. Nothing used to grow there. So you're going to have kanevagome, which are two types of plants that only grow where you have good, fertile land, places where there's enough water. So the Navi is describing how the land of Israel will be able to produce even delicate fruits that require a special habitat. We know now that in Israel we actually do manage to grow many fruits and vegetables that you can't grow anywhere else in the world. They claim that lychees could only be grown in China, but they managed to grow them here. They thought bananas could only be grown in certain climates, and they managed to grow them here. You know, we found that we can actually use the varying climates here in Israel to grow, I think, every fruit. I don't know if there's a fruit they haven't succeeded in growing here.
Probably coffee. Coffee can only be grown on the coffee belt, which is like, did you align with the equator or something like that within a certain... geographical location, latitude?
Could be, but...
like the only state in the United States that can grow coffee is Hawaii.
But, 3 decades ago, I heard a medrash. I never saw it inside. But 3 decades ago, the Rebbe in elementary school in first grade quoted the following medrash. And it made such an impression on me, I remember it till today.
Let's hear it.
He said to us that... he said 2 things. He said that Hashem created the world with veins. Just like you have a heart in your body, and you have arteries and then veins that bring blood throughout your body, so too Hashem created the world where there's nourishment that starts on the Temple Mount in the Holy of Holies, and then there are arteries and veins that extend throughout the world. And there you have, in every country, you have different nourishments. So different countries have different capacity to grow different types of things in their soil. But, he said, if you know how to chart those veins, then you could know where to grow which crop in Israel, because it all starts here. From here, it emanates elsewhere. But if you were to try, if you'd know how to chart those veins, that was part one of the Midrash. Part two was, he told us that in the generation of the flood, they knew how to taste the soil and figure out where those veins were. And they knew by tasting the soil where they could grow different crops. And working that way, they were able to grow every crop in Israel. And that was the... So that, I never saw this Medrash inside. I don't know where he got it from. But... okay. So you'll find it there. But that's the Medrash I heard as a child. So I always kept it in the back of my mind. It's like a stunning Medrash. Remember, you know, your imagination as a child looking at Earth with veins. It never worked out to me looking at the globe why Israel wasn't in Alaska, you know, if the veins are coming out of Israel. But okay, so that's a child, right? But in recent years, as we see more and more crops that are growing in Israel, which it was thought you couldn't grow anywhere outside country A or B or C, I'm starting to wonder. Okay. Okay. We got 2 minutes. So we'll continue here with Zachem next week.